Next, Jesus gave us a summary of the Ten Commandments and what it means to be people of faith. So today's reading is from Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, and chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. This is the story of Moses meeting with God on Mount Sinai when he received the commandments. Listen for God's word to you in this reading. On the third new moon after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine. But you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." And then God spoke all these words. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." This is the word of the Lord. Last week, in the excitement over the papal conclave, friends sent me an old video clip from Saturday Night Live. Father Guido Sarducci was the star. Do you remember him? Seems like many of you do. So Father Guido was a recurring character on Saturday Night Live in the 70s and the 80s. He always had a cigarette between his fingers. He wore a floppy black hat, tinted sunglasses, a white clergy collar, and a black caped robe. He worked as a gossip columnist and a rock music critic for the Osservatore Romano, better known as the Vatican Inquirer. In the sketch that my anonymous church friends sent to me, the ones who usually sit somewhere over there, Father Guido was a guest on Weekend Update. His outfit this time was dramatically different. He wore white vestments and a tall red and gold hat, which looked very much like the papal mitre. Father Guido explained that he got tired of waiting for the church to promote him, so he quit his day job and started his own church, the People's Catholic Church. He promoted himself, and it was a big promotion, from priest to pope. He went on to say that anyone could be a church member and a pope in his new church, and for the low, low price of $250, you too could get your own papal vestments. Not just for men, either. For women, he had a papal mini skirt or a very attractive pantsuit. Finally, Father Guido promised to come back later to explain this new church's dogma, and he gave a hint of what was to come by saying that some churches have the Ten Commandments, but the People's Catholic Church is much looser. They have the Ten Suggestions. Ten Suggestions. I'm afraid that Presbyterians, who, as you know, try to do everything decently and in order, are more a Ten Commandments kind of church. The story in Exodus began approximately 3 months after the people's escape from Egypt, 3 months after they were liberated from slavery, and 3 months into their wandering in the wilderness. According to the story's author, God was guiding every step of this journey, and their leader, Moses, was God's spokesman and mediator. So no surprise then that it was Moses who went up Mount Sinai to meet God while the people waited below. For Moses, the journey was a demanding and a dangerous one, because on the mountain, Moses met God. And meeting God in Scripture is always a disruptive and transformative event, and no one remains the same. That sort of encounter between God and humans in Scripture is called a theophany, a manifestation of God to humanity. And in this theophany, God was completely other, mysterious, and holy. And yet, this was the same God who heard the cries of the people suffering in slavery, the same God who punished the Egyptians and forced the Pharaoh to liberate God's people, the very same God who led the people out of Egypt through the Red Sea and into freedom. It was this God who offered continuing relationship. If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession. The liberating God was now the commanding God, who offered a rule to live by and a relationship, a communion between humanity and God. In turn, it was the people's work then and now to decide whether to answer God's call or to reject it. The Ten Commandments are not unusual or unique to the Hebrew Bible. There were many such sets of laws in other cultures in the ancient world. It is not the commandments' content that sets them apart. What sets the Ten Commandments apart was the invitation to relationship. In the commandments, God revealed God's self and God's expectations for the way that humanity was to live together. In giving the law to Moses and to the people, God was inviting them into community with God's self and with each other. As we'll see in the coming weeks, half of the commandments address our relationship with God, and the other half address our relationships with one another. The first commandment set the tone. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. In that way, God claimed humanity's full attention, full devotion, and full love, a love that does not come out of nowhere. God reminded the people, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is a relationship built on experience and trust and love. Remember the Matthew passage that Bob just read. This was Jesus' summary of the law. A lawyer asked, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. To summarize the Ten Commandments, the biblical law given to Moses and to God's people, it is all about love. Love of God and love of neighbor. In the first commandment, God asked for all of our devotion, all of our attention, and all of ourselves. This is the goal of faith, is it not? To stay attuned to God, to keep your heart and your mind, your eyes and ears and hands open to notice and receive God's love so that you can give it back, not only to God, but also to others. Martin Luther, in his larger catechism, said this, That upon which you set your heart and put your trust is properly your God, small g, God. That upon which you set your heart and put your trust is properly your God. Money, work, study, art, music, ambition, power, control, pleasure, beauty, youth, or things, pick your poison, when our focus strays to any of these things, it gets in the way of relationship with God. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You might think that this ancient set of rules for life with God would fade into obscurity, but that is not so, at least in the United States. The Ten Commandments regularly make the news. Louisiana recently passed a law requiring the display of the Ten Commandments in its public school classrooms, and the Texas Senate followed soon after. Last month, Christian Century magazine responded to this news with an article by Mark Glanville, in which he reported that many of the proponents for these efforts focus on the rules in the Ten Commandments. They interpret the commandments as if they were written solely for individuals, meant to rein in people's worst instincts and teach them to obey the rules, rather than speaking to the heart of the commandments. So Glanville wrote, "In their original context, the Ten Commandments are a call to share God's good gifts with one another. They are a counterpoint to the oppression of slavery, meant to shape ancient Israelite society to be a place where every person can strive." Every person can thrive. They were given by a holy God to encourage God's people to be holy people, set apart, loving God and loving one another. Is that what these lawmakers hope to see happen when the Ten Commandments are displayed in classrooms or courtrooms or in the public square? And that is a rhetorical and sort of sarcastic question. The Ten Commandments are so much more than a list of do's and don'ts. They are also so much more than Father Guido Sarducci's suggestions. They are moral and ethical imperatives that reveal God's character and God's intentions. They outline God's requirements for God's people, demonstrating God's love and care for the world. They are not meant to be a burden. Not meant to be a weapon used to beat others over the head. They are meant to make a difference in our communal life, fostering love and freedom, liberation and justice for all of God's people. And it all starts with loving God. Hear the first commandment one more time. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Amen.